killed. Let's
turn this morning to John 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, let's start reading with verse 19. And this is the record of John. Now, this is, of course, John the Baptist, not John Zebedee, John the Beloved. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent were the Pharisees. They asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Lord, we come to you this morning, and we've enjoyed an hour. And, Father, I appreciate being in the Word of God around folks that are interested in hearing it. For somebody here, Lord, that struggled with some of the material and might have left, even I pray that you'll be with them. And, Father, may the Word of God still bear witness and be real as far as the living Word, which does not return void. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we just pray that you might help us to be able to see ourselves this morning, Father. And we sometimes think that the men of the Bible all had really ideological, full views of themselves in light of the Bible. And, Father, I rather have come to the conclusion they saw themselves with more confusion than we think. And they saw themselves much like we see ourselves, perhaps. So I pray you might help us in that this morning. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we are, of course, going through Luke in Sunday school. And so we have canvassed John the Baptist pretty thoroughly here the last 6 or 8 weeks, I suppose. We've talked about him in various occasions. But allow me to build on what some of the things that we've talked about with John the Baptist here this morning. If you don't know a lot about him and haven't studied him, hopefully you can catch up with this. This is now January 3rd of 2016, and there's something about a new year where people just seem to be pre-circuited, pre-wired, predisposed to desire to reform and improve themselves, and that's a good thing. When you stop and consider that you have a book here that'll give you about 10,000 suggestions of how to improve yourself, that's a good deal if you'll follow it instead of some of the humanistic claptrap that you hear out in the world. But let me present this to you this morning with regard and maybe in light of a new year. If you need to lose 10 pounds and resolve to do so, help yourself. But I would desire, for my part, to inspire you to aspire to these things. And just like to give you something to simmer on and think about for a while. Now, we're in John 1. Let me just ask you, if you will, to turn back to Matthew 17 for a sec. I want to show you a little bit of a paradox. Matthew 17, keep your finger in John 1. There is going to be quite a bit of turning back and forth this morning, so keep your Bibles handy. But Matthew chapter 17, and we've read this several times in recent weeks because of John the Baptist and the Elijah issue. But notice, to illustrate what I'm saying here this morning and contrast it, Matthew 17:9, as they came down from the mountain, that is the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come, Elijah? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. He said, well, actually you guys have seen Elias. And they understood him to be talking about John the Baptist, which he was. And so I bring you back to this passage here in John chapter 1. Here is John the Baptist's confession. Who are you? Are you the Christ? Verse 20. He confessed and denied not, but confessed, no, I am not. I am not the Christ. And he wasn't. And good. But verse 21. They asked him, what then art thou, Elias? And he saith, I am not. I mean, in spite of what we just read in Matthew 17, he said, no, I'm not. Verse 21, and art thou that prophet? Now, that prophet is from Deuteronomy 34, where Moses prophesied to Israel that there will be a prophet like unto myself. There will be a prophet one day like unto Moses. We understand that to be Jesus Christ. They may be, if they didn't get that, be referring to the fact that Elijah and Moses are supposed to show up and be those two olive branches that witness of the coming of Christ. So they may be talking about Moses, but he said, no, no, I'm not him either. Verse 21, and he answered, no. Then they said to him, well, who are you? Verse 23, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Look, guys, I am just a voice. According to Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2, I'm just a voice, right? Now, with that said, it would be speculation for me to try to figure out, John the Baptist, Jesus said that John the Baptist could have been Elijah. John the Baptist said, no, I'm not him. I don't think John's lying. Maybe John didn't understand. It would be speculation for me to say, well, this is what John understood. All I know is that John said, no, I'm not him, him, or him. What I am is a voice, right? Now, with that said, he knew he was a voice in the wilderness. He knew what God told him to say. He knew he was supposed to baptize the Jews. He came to bear witness of the light back in verse 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, Jesus Christ. But if I take what John said in John 1, 19 through 23, then John did not know everything that he was. John was more than he realized. Now, I'd like you to think about that for a minute. Neither you nor I are a John the Baptist. Okay, that's obvious. John the Baptist was a fulfillment of a specific Old Testament prophecy and will yet be another specific fulfillment of another Old Testament prophecy. Right? You and I have fulfilled and found our names in prophecy when the Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. We have fulfilled it generally. We have that part in the Bible. But as far as I know, there's none of our names that are prophesied forward in the Bible as far as some specific part of some specific prophecy. Yes, we're going to be raptured. Yes, we're going to be the body of Christ. Yes, we're going to reign with Christ and so on and so forth. Right? But we have fulfilled these things generally. John the Baptist was a specific fulfillment of a specific prophecy. Now, so we're not a John the Baptist, and I wouldn't want you to think so. We are told not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And so when I tell you the name of this sermon this morning, I want you to make sure that you don't get carried away with self-importance. That's not what I'm trying to inspire here. But I want to preach to you on this morning that John was more than he realized. Here he is, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, but he was even more than that. And I'm assuming that, you know, he didn't understand and didn't know fully what he was. And it got me thinking about us. I wonder if you realize fully what you are and what you could be. None of us are big shots. You would do well to discount 99.5% of the self-esteem baloney that you hear on the news and on the radio these days. You need to keep your eyes off of you. Yet, in spite of all that, as the sons of God, ladies and gentlemen, all of us have a part in a plan that's bigger and more wondrous than we even understand, probably. And so I want to talk to you this morning about John being more than he realized. I would like to begin by taking you over to John, to rather Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, and again, please keep your Bibles handy this morning. You're going to be turning back and forth some through here. But John, Luke chapter 7, Luke chapter 7, and John was more than he realized. For instance, John the Baptist is put in prison, and because things are not happening as he thought they would, he sends his ambassadors and says, ask Jesus Christ if he's the Messiah, or do we look for another? Because I'm in jail and, you know, I'm tired of this. Well, verse 20, when the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way, tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to the poor, the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. So these guys leave, and now he says this. What went you out unto the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately, rather, are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before my face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. But importantly, verse 28, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was not pompous. John the Baptist was not an egotist. He did not elevate or magnify himself. He knew he was a voice in the wilderness. He admitted that. Are you Christ? No. Are you Elijah? No. Are you Moses? No. No, no, no. He never heard, as far as we know, the Lord's evaluation of him. I mean, he's saying, no, I'm not him, I'm not him. Look, I'm just a voice. That's all I am. I'm just a voice. Come get baptized. Well, after the folks, those messengers left, Jesus Christ said, this guy is the greatest prophet born among women. He was more of a prophet than he realized. I'm assuming he didn't understand it fully. I'm assuming they didn't get it. I tell you what, it's an interesting thing for you to look at. John the Baptist did not hear those words. This prophet is greater than any other prophet born among women. He didn't hear that. The last thing that we know of that John the Baptist heard from Christ's mouth was verse 22. Go your way, tell John what things you've seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor and to the poor the gospel is preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever will not be offended in me, John. He actually rebuked John for being offended in it. The last thing John heard from him was basically a reproof, a rebuke. And then Jesus turns to the rest of them out of his hearing and said, there's not a greater prophet risen than John the Baptist. Look, folks, I'm just saying that John the Baptist was more of a prophet than he knew. He was more of a prophet than he realized. Now, I'm not out to inspire or feed any delusions of grandeur that you have, but we are prophets. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse 8, it says, the lion in the forest hath roared, who can but fear? And then it said, the Lord hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? All prophesying is citing the Bible, is telling people what the Bible says. Ladies and gentlemen, you in that regard are a prophet. Now, you need to crucify your ambition. You need to make sure and mortify your Elijah complex. And if you have a proclivity to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says you should not think more highly of yourselves than you ought to. But at the same time, it's worthwhile to say that all that John the Baptist ever did was talk. Now you stop and think about that. He talked and he baptized. I'm not saying that all he was a fool of talk. I'm saying that what God gave him to do was the gift of prophecy. He was called to witness to those people that the Messiah was coming. All that John the Baptist did was talk. What got him killed was what he said about Herod and Herodias. I'm not saying he didn't do something. I'm saying that as far as working miracles, he didn't. For instance, look in John 10. John 10, it might surprise you to learn that John the Baptist did not work a miracle. He, like me, did not work any miracles. What he did was, like me, stood up and preached and witnessed. And that's what you were called to do. John chapter 10, verse 41. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle. But all things that John spake of this man were true. John did no miracle. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, all John did was preach and baptize. He did what God told him to do. Now, look, my point is, you have a high calling. John the Baptist was more of a prophet than he realized. And I just want to say that you're more of a prophet than you realize. You're called to be my witnesses. On top of it, you can add, we're called to be stewards of the mysteries of God. Right? But that is the high calling for a Christian, to witness and to testify of the truth, not only of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, but the truth of the Bible. And frankly, only the judgment seat of Christ is ever going to show what you truly accomplished. You're going to have to wait till then to know. But my point, ladies and gentlemen, is that, in effect, the sky's the limit. You're limited more by you than anything else. Paul said you are straitened in your own bowels. The fact of the matter is, most all of us are surrounded by lost people every day. So, well, I could never be a prophet like John the Baptist. John was more of a prophet than he knew. He thought rather lowly of himself as well. He said, look, I'm just a voice. And Jesus Christ said, no, he's more than a voice. There's not been a greater prophet born among women than John the Baptist. Now, don't get all jacked up and, you know, egotistical about things, but you need to realize you can have more of an effect than you do. And you need to understand you're probably more of a prophet than you are. You could be more of a prophet than you are. Really, the sky is the limit. If you decided to take look for a flight and take a trip to Timbuktu to put out the gospel, you could do that if you really wanted to. I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying he was more than he realized. And we tend to limit ourselves. Well, I can't do this, and I'm not talented in this, and blah, 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 blah. I'm just saying. He was more of a prophet than he realized. You know, if you have 1,000 friends on Facebook, is that even possible? And if you have 10,000 likes on your Facebook page and all the stuff that you've posted and whatever your blog or whatever else you've got, you know what that means? Nothing. Nothing. Because after all, you are, however, blessed with the truth. You are, however, blessed with a stewardship. You are blessed with the light. You've been given the Great Commission. I just want to say, you're more of a prophet than you realize. And you're really only limited by your own self. Paul said you're straitened in your own bowels. John the Baptist was more than he knew. More of a prophet than he knew. I can give you another example. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew 11 again. Matthew 11. There was something else he was to that generation. Let me read you this first. Matthew chapter 11. And go down to verse 17. The Lord is talking about the people of the generation he was preaching to, what they're like. He said, verse 16, it is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, you have not danced, we have mourned for you, and you have not lamented. For John the Baptist, came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber. He said, on one hand you have John the Baptist, and you say this. On the other hand you have me, and you say this. There's no winning with you guys. But it's important. What I wanted you to see was that he used on one hand himself, and then on the other hand he used John the Baptist. That is, John the Baptist was a standard that the Lord held up before that generation and said, you want to compare yourself? What do you think about him and what do you think about me? It reminds me of Job. To the devil, the Lord says, hast thou considered my servant Job, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, escheweth evil? I mean, in the devil's sight, the Lord said, hey, use him as a benchmark. What do you think of him? Now, I don't appreciate that kind of attention, to be honest with you, but the Lord used Job as a benchmark for the devil. In Matthew chapter 11, the Lord says, hey, you want to see somebody? You want to know what you're like? Well, you're like, have you compared yourself with me? Have you compared yourself with John the Baptist? Look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. And go down to verse 25. Matthew 21, 25. Over and over again, the Lord Jesus Christ came before the men of his generation and pointed John's testimony out to them. He used for that generation, John, as a benchmark and said, take a look at him. Take a look at him. What do you think about him? What do you think about what he said? Matthew 21:25. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? They're asking a bunch of questions. He said, well, I got a question for you and then I'll answer yours. The baptism of John the Baptist, did he make that up or did that come from God? And in the end, they wouldn't answer. Remember that? Look down in verse 32, and then he uses John again. He said, John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that you might believe him. He kept bringing up John the Baptist to this generation over and over. He says, what do you think about John? What do you think about John? What do you think about John? He kept holding him up over and over again. Look in Luke 3, and then you can quit turning for a little while. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, go down to verse 15. Luke 3:15. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John. Everybody was thinking about John, and everybody was talking about John. Now look, my point is, Christ brought him up over and over again to that generation. He said, there's your benchmark. Here's who you should be comparing yourself to. Not only me, but him. Look at his testimony. What did he say? What did you do with what he did? So on and so forth. He was more of a standard than he knew. He was more of a prophet than he realized. And he was more of a standard. He was more of a benchmark for that generation than he realized. And people today are exceedingly careless with their testimony. What Jesus Christ did, now we know that Jesus Christ is ultimately the one we're to be compared to. But what he did to his generation over and over is, he said, did you notice John? Did you notice John? Did you notice John? What did John say? Did you notice that you rejected what John said? John. Over and over again, Jesus Christ brought John up. To that generation, Jesus Christ rubbed their noses over and over again, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the lawyers, in the testimony of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, I suppose, never realized it. I mean, he was in prison for a while and then they cut his head off, and far as we know, he never even knew it. But he was more of a standard to the men of his generation than he ever knew. Now, folks, like I said, men of today are exceedingly careless with their testimony. They're exceedingly careless with the standards that they set, with the benchmark that they set for folks that stand around and look and watch. I know what this touches. You know, people say, well, because you're a preacher and because you go to church three times a week and put on a tie and don't have ecumenical contemporary music, then you're a Pharisee. You're a legalist. Well, all I can say is this. Can you, when you honestly read through Romans and Ephesians and Colossians, don't you find that the Lord Jesus Christ established standards of behavior and deportment for us? I mean, we're to pray without ceasing. Now look, it doesn't mean that we put it on a schedule and hour by hour put off a little check mark. Yeah, I prayed here and I prayed here and I prayed here and I prayed here. Well, that's ritualistic. That's not what he instilled. That's not what he imparted. But you have to admit that he left pretty high standards for us. Pray without ceasing. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's pretty up there. My point, folks, is that he was more of a standard. He was more of a benchmark. His testimony had more of an impact on his generation than he knew. And here's what I wonder. Here's what I'm going to ask you. Here's what you need to think about, that I would have you think about for 2016. Would Jesus Christ point out your life to this generation? Now, this generation that we live in operate on a pretty low scum level. When you look around at what surrounds us, you feel like you're in the zoo instead of in society. And you have to admit that your light doesn't have to shine maybe even as bright as John the Baptist. But my point is, he was more of a standard than he knew. And I say to you, you're more of a standard than you know. I believe that you're more of a prophet than you realize, and that you could have a lot more of an impact than you do. But you also are set more of a standard than you realize. And when you're careless with your testimony, when you're careless with what you laugh at, when you're careless about what you say, when you're careless about what you watch and what you do and where you go, somebody sees. And I just want to say that if the Lord doesn't say, did you see what he just did to somebody lost? I guarantee the devil will say, did you see what he just did? Well, he's supposed to be a Christian. You think the devil didn't get mileage out of that stuff? You've been smoking funny grass. And my point is, John the Baptist was more of a standard than he knew. I can say something else with confidence. Look in Luke chapter 7 again, would you? Luke 7. Luke 7. Go down to verse 29, Luke 7, 29. In verse 29, and all the people that heard him, that's John, and the publicans, justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. All the publicans and the lowlifes, because they've been baptized by John, I mean, they took John to heart and knew that they had secured, gotten a hold on eternal life because of John, because of what they had done. Verse 30, though, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And those Pharisees and lawyers were lost. What I wanted you to see there was that eternities hinged on what John said and did. Look, if you will, in Luke chapter 16, while we're, and I want to give you two or three examples of this. Luke 16, 16. Notice what it says about John. It said, the law and the prophets were until John. With the coming of John the Baptist, something changed in how God was dealing with men. And there were still a lot, there's a lot more transition to go. We've studied all that out. But just notice the Law and the Prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth unto it. But something changed with John the Baptist. Can you see that? What I'm getting around to saying here, folks, is that more hinged on John than John knew. He was more of a prophet than he knew. He was more of a standard for his generation than he knew. And Jesus Christ used him as that. And more hinged on him than he knew. Go back, if you will, to a couple of other places. Matthew 21. We just read it, I know, but Matthew 21, look at it from this angle. Matthew 21, go down to verse 32. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe it. Well, those folks' eternities hinged on John. Look in Matthew 17. I know we read it already. Matthew 17. And verse 11. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. He said, believe it or not, Elijah already has come. John was him. And you didn't get it. And I'm pointing out that more hinged on John than those folks knew. I mean, he could have been, according to Jesus Christ, Elijah. He could have been him. We've talked about that a lot. Now, no, it's all about Jesus Christ. I know that. Jesus Christ was the main focus. And John's main focus was to get them focused on Jesus Christ. That much is true. But this is also true. The life and ministry of John the Baptist was a crossroads in that generation where if they didn't get John, they didn't get Christ. If they rejected John, there was going to be some things that didn't happen that should have happened, and they should have happened. But because they didn't get John, then that generation didn't get it. John the Baptist was a crossroads. John the Baptist was a turning point. John the Baptist was holy ground. He never said that as such, but when those folks rejected John, they rejected Christ. Now, folks, my point is, more hinged on him than he even understood. As far as I can see, it is very likely that John the Baptist had his head taken from him in prison by Herod, was killed in prison. He may not have known Jesus Christ's evaluation of him as the greatest prophet that was ever born of women. As far as we know, those words were never spoken to John because the Lord had already sent his ambassadors away. John very well may have died in prison thinking that he had been put on a shelf and had somehow failed and was useless. We know that's not true from what we have written here. I'm saying John the Baptist, by Jesus Christ's mouth, was more of a prophet than he knew. He was more of a standard for his generation than he understood. I think your testimony counts for more than you care to admit, especially if you're careless with it. And I want to say, thirdly, more hinged on him than he understood. Ever consider how much hinges on you with regard to your family and to your friends and to your acquaintances? I have never visited, for instance, Todd Jensen's work. I've never been where he works. And so I don't run into any of the people that he runs into. I bet for the main part of every single day, I bet we don't run into the same people. He has an entirely different set of acquaintances than most of us have. But wait a minute, isn't that true of most of us here? Don't we all pretty much have an entirely unique set of acquaintances in regard to what everybody else here has? I don't run into anybody that Jeff works with. I don't really run into anybody very often whom Dave works with. Or I didn't ever go to Pita Pit, so I never work run anybody who Amy works with. My point is, folks, how many other people that have the light that you have run across the people that you run across? It would have to be the Lord doing something special to get me to run across somebody's path that you've run across. What I'm saying is that in much regard in a city this size, with 3.5 million people round about us, you have your own unique ministry. There's a lot that hinges on you. I don't know many of your in-laws. I don't know many of your brothers and sisters, many of your family. I never go to your family reunion, so I wouldn't have a chance to witness to your family. Largely, only you have a chance to witness to your family. My point is, ladies and gentlemen, more hinges on you, maybe, than you care to admit. There was a lot that hinged on John the Baptist he didn't even know about. And there's a lot that hinges on you. Tell you what, in 2016, what you can do is be a better witness. Not just of the gospel, but of Bible truth in general as well. You know, so in light of this, what do you do when you have one of those really discouraging days? When you feel the cloud coming up over your shoulder and you're depressed today and you decide, you know, I'm just going to lay low and suck my thumb today. What do you do when you're frustrated by events? What do you do when you're mad at individuals, whether justifiably or unjustifiably? It could be either thing. Well, I ain't going to mess with them today. I don't even know if I want them to be my friends anymore. Draw back to you, into yourself. What do you do when you're resentful of others? What do you do when you're wounded and hurt and you decide, I don't even know if I want to go back? What do you do when you're alone? Well, I just want to say, you have to answer for yourself what you do. But there's more that hinges on you for eternity than you know. And John the Baptist could conceivably have just said, I'm tired of messing with these people, and bailed out long before he did, long before he got arrested. I mean, I'll grant you that none of us have an entire dispensation revolving around us. I know that. The law and the prophet won't stop at you. It stopped at John. I know that. I also know that your ministry isn't the crossing point of an entire generation. I can never reach an entire generation. I can only reach this little circle of people that the Lord has put me in influence of. But we're all little bitty cogs. I grant you that. But you know, a fine Swiss watch is made of little bitty cogs that works together. And if one cog is missing, nobody knows the time. So I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that there was more that hinged on John than he probably even realized. He was more of a prophet than he realized. He was more of a standard for his generation than he realized. More hinged on him than he realized. And I can say this also with confidence. Again, to revisit a verse that you've seen already once today, Luke 3. I'm not going to have to turn a lot more. Just hang in here with me. Luke chapter 3, verse 15. You say, well, Brother Stevens, I am nothing, and I feel like nothing, and I'll always be nothing, I've always been nothing. Far as I can see, John the Baptist felt like a nothing. What did he say? He said, no, I'm not him or him. I'm just a voice. That's all I am. I'm just a voice. Well, he's more than a voice. He didn't know it, but he was more than a voice. Right? You say, you're nothing. Well, God's always done stuff with nothings. Why shouldn't you be a nothing that God does stuff with? Luke chapter 3, verse 15. In this last part, he had more of an effect than he ever knew. Look in Luke chapter 3, verse 15, where it says, and as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John. The Bible says that everybody around, if they weren't talking about him, were thinking about him. You say, well, Now, I'm not trying to feed this monster where you think everybody's thinking about you, because it's not all about you, and it doesn't all revolve around you, but I'm pointing out that John the Baptist had more of an effect on his generation than he knew. He didn't know everybody was thinking about him. But they were. Look in your Bible in Mark 6. Mark 6. This is a good one. Mark chapter 6. Verse 17, for Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold on John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her and John had rebuked him. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. First of all, he had more of an effect than he knew because he had an enemy that he may not have fully realized. I mean, Herodias hated his guts. And when, you know, anytime John the Baptist came up between Herod and Herodias, she would storm off into the bathroom and put on another layer of makeup and be mad at Herod the rest of the day. But he had more of an effect than he knew. And furthermore, it didn't stop there. Look in verse 20, even more importantly. For Herod feared John. There's no indication that John knew that Herod feared him. I doubt he would have imagined that Herod feared him. But the Holy Spirit said that Herod feared John. Do you know why you get the reaction that you get sometimes when you're a good witness? Because they're scared of you. They're scared of what you're saying. He didn't know he had that effect. And I'm not saying you should try to scare people. I'm just trying to say he had more of an effect than he knew. Verse 20. For Herod feared John, knowing he was a just man and a holy. There was something he knew and got immediately. John the Baptist was not the same quality of a man that Herod was. And Herod knew he was a just man and a holy. John the Baptist didn't know that Herod knew that. I would dare posit. Verse 20. And observed him. I mean, I doubt very seriously that John the Baptist knew that the guards were going back to Herod in the palace and reporting what John did today and what he thought and how much time he spent in his Bible and what's he doing while he's trying to memorize Scripture. And John the Baptist didn't know that Herod was even interested, but Herod observed him and watched him and spied on him because he was scared of him. And he knew he had something that Herod didn't have. Look at verse 20. And when he heard him, so he heard him. He kept calling him back into the palace to talk about the Bible. And when he heard him, he did many things. He made some changes. Maybe he quit drinking so much. Maybe he quit eating so much. Maybe he kind of kept Herodias at arm's length more. But he changed some things. Verse 20, and heard him gladly. He's glad to hear it. He liked talking Bible. Now, folks, there is no indication anywhere that John the Baptist knew that was his effect on Herod. He may have known his effect on Herodias. Certainly in time he did. But he did not know his effect on Herod. I have just another page or two over looking at Mark chapter 8, verse 28. And notice another one of John's effects on the men of his generation. He was more of a prophet than he knew, set more of a standard than he knew, more hinged on him than he knew. He had more of an effect on men than he knew. Mark 8, 28. And I should get the question in verse 27. Christ asking, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. Well, again, that's an indication that men are talking about John. Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Well, some men say that you're John. Men are out there talking about John in the streets. He had more of an effect. He had more of an effect than he knew. He was the object of many people's minds. And that sordid little soap opera going on in Herod's palace with he and Herodias and Herodias' daughter, the little teenage snot, all that stuff was carrying forth, and John the Baptist is in prison, prepared to lose his head, has no clue. That's the effect of the words that he's spoken. And that Herod's household, if you can call it that, is in an upheaval all the time because none of them can get out of their minds those things that John the Baptist has said. He had more of an effect than he knew. Now, you know, people do all kinds of things to affect positively the generation that they're in. They Facebook, they blog, they post pictures, they join clubs, they run for office, they recycle, they bodybuild so they can bless everybody else with the sight of their glorious body. They give to charity, they join a Christian rock band, they dream, they make movies, and they advocate for the environment, just to have an effect. John the Baptist did none of those things. All he did was run his mouth for Jesus Christ and baptize somebody that would come and get baptized. That's all he did. And he had an effect on a generation that generation has not recovered yet. The Jews have yet to recover from failing to see what John the Baptist represented. Now, I know you're not John the Baptist, and I'm not either. And you're not going to affect as exponentially a generation that you live in as much as John did in that little tiny country that's only this big. I understand that. But it still points out the fact that you're probably more of a prophet than you know. It points out the fact, again, that you are more of a standard for your children, your friends, and this lost generation of people than you know. You are. There's more that hinges on you being a witness and being a testimony than you realize. And you actually have more an effect than you probably understand. Listen, it's not you that has the power. You hold the Word of God in your hand. That is the most powerful weapon, the most powerful effect in the universe. It is quick, it is powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It digs in and gets in men's hearts and discerns their hearts and condemns them and judges them, and men get mad at you because you cited the Bible to them or carried it under your arm. But you can have more of an effect than you probably realize. John the Baptist was more than he realized. And there's no reason that you're not or can't be. Let's bow our heads and pray.